Good morning to all of you. Glad my wife is back. The house is back to normal. All right, could I have the slide, please? Yes. Now, this morning I'm going to speak on the New Year message. I'm going to entitle my message Moving Forward in 2014. And the text I'd like to pick from is the book of Ephesians chapter 5. And I'll read from verse 15 to verse 17. So if you have a Bible with you, please turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to verse 17. Or right through to verse 21, please. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 15 says, "See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Understand what the will of the Lord is. And verse 18, "Do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." Thank you. Father, we thank you for last year, for the many things that you have done for Zion Fellowship and in the lives of your people. You have been faithful. We know, Father Lord, that you are maturing your church. You are maturing every brothers and sisters in Christ. And sometimes we do not understand, Lord, what you are doing, but we submit it ourselves to you. And we know that you are a faithful God, you are a good God, and that you're going to work all things together for good, for those who love God and those who are called according to your purpose. So I pray you grant us revelation, you grant us understanding, and you help us to shape and to renew our mind so that 2014 will be a more effective year for us, will be more meaningful, and will be more purposeful. So Lord, we are thankful for the things that you have done, thankful for the things that you're doing now, and thankful for the things that you're going to do in the years ahead of us. So we ask you anoint my lips to speak your word, anoint the ears of the people to hear, Lord, that this year that they will have more wisdom to undertake, Lord, whatever you have laid in their hearts, that all things be done to your glory. In the name of your Son, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. All right. As I said, this is going to be a New Year message. This is today is the first Sunday of 2014. It is the close of the old chapter, but it is the beginning of a new year, 2014. And therefore, some of us take time to reflect on the things that we did in 2013. And of course, there were a mix of things, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, as we transit from one year to another year, we want to learn from our past what we have done right and what we have done poorly and what the areas we need to change, we need to improve and do for the new year. What lessons we have learned and how can we make year 2014 more effective, purposeful and meaningful? Now, we are given another new year and we hope that we can move forward and make good progress. One of the things that will be accessed by the Lord is in the area of the use of our time. And that is why this scripture that we have read is a reminder to us that we need to walk circumspectly and not as fools but as wise and redeeming the time because the days that are approaching are evil. And we need to know what the will of the Lord is in our life. And also there's another verse in Psalms, verse chapter 90 verse 12, it says, So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of understanding. Now, a few weeks ago, I was talking about finishing strong and that our life is a race and it's a marathon. It can be likened unto a yacht race. And recently, during the Christmas and the New Year period, Australia was having this Sydney to Hobart yacht race. And it took months and years for the various people and the teams to design and to build the boat and to train and to work out the people, work out a discipline for the race that they were planning to participate in. Now, all started in the race. Remember, all started from the same starting line and all faced the same, what they call the current and the weather conditions. And many arrived at the destination, but some finished strong while others finished weak. But yet many others did not finish the race. They did not reach the finishing line. When you are in the race, you cannot fuss about the currents and the weather condition. You cannot complain and whinge and swear and curse and blame the circumstances and the people around you. You just have to accept the wind and the weather condition as given and make the best out of the situation. No matter how much you swear and you curse, it will not alter the current and the wind and the weather conditions then. And therefore, the various decisions that you made in setting the sail under different circumstances and weather conditions will determine the course of the journey, whether you are going to make progress in that particular weather condition, whether you are going to reach your destiny. So imagine that you are sailing and you're going to fast about the winds and the storms and the currents. You are going to get nowhere. And therefore, are you allowing the winds of life to take you on a random journey and going nowhere? Or are you allowing the currents and the weather condition to dictate the drift of your life away from the course of advancement in the Lord Jesus? You cannot live your life by chance. You cannot live your life by circumstances. It needs to be purposeful. And it is high time that we prepare and charter our course, set our life with the guidance of the wind of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And so we want to reflect on the year 2013, what we have learned from it, and set our life, you know, right, and so that we can move forward in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, for the year 2014, I submit to you three things. If you want to move forward in your life, you have to consider these three things. And the first things I have in mind is this, that you commit to yourself to a lifestyle of thanksgiving and praise. Give thanks for all the things that you have experienced in year 2013. Continue to adopt a lifestyle of thanksgiving and praise in 2014. Not only 2014, but the years before, beyond 2014. Now, the question that you may want to ask is, why give thanks? Now, because this is the will of God. In Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, if you can recall, there is a verse that says that in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, you think that this is a very simple verse. This is a, you know, very trivial verse, but it is a powerful verse. Giving thanks to God is an act of gratitude for the good things that God has done for you. And I want to give you an example. There were 10 lepers in the gospel. It was in Luke chapter 17, verse 12 to verse 19. And the story of the 10 lepers and how these 10 lepers came and they bumped into the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus began to heal them. And straight away they were healed. And then so they went away and they were healed of the lepers. But out of the 10 lepers, only one of them came back and returned to see Jesus and give him thanks. And then Jesus says, I thought I healed 10 lepers. What happened to the other 9? Only one of them out of the 10 returned to give thanks. And what happened? Jesus began to pronounce a particular word upon this one leper. He says that your faith has made you well. But in the old King James Version, it says that your faith has made you whole. Now, that translation is a more accurate translation. And what happened is, the word that was spoken, the subsequent word that was spoken by the Lord Jesus upon this leper, it says that your faith has made you whole, which means to say the other nine lepers only received physical healing, but this particular leper who came back to give thanks to the Lord Jesus, he received total healing in the area of the physical, in the area of the soul, and in the area of the spirit. Wholeness of the person, spirit, soul, and body. And therefore, you can see that giving thanks is very powerful. God expects us to give thanks, and it is very powerful in the sense that you need to be thankful for your past and present before God can move you forward to the next level. If you are not thankful and not appreciative for what the Lord has done in your life, then obviously God would not want to entrust more things for you in the future. It is a very simple principle of stewardship. Now note that the words of God says that in everything give thanks. Everything, meaning good, the bad, and the ugly. And I say everything means everything. Then you may ask why. Many people say that only we can give thanks, perhaps only during good times. Yes, that is a natural thing. But what about during bad times and bad situation? You may say, I'm not sure about it. And some skeptics begin to say, you don't know what I'm going through. I lost my job. I'm going through rough patches. You know, my relative, my loved ones, they are sick. I'm running out of money, so on and so forth. And the normal response is you moan and you groan, you murmur and you complain, and you begin to curse and you begin to swear. Nobody, you say, in such a situation can give thanks. And anyone who is doing giving thanks out of a bad situation, adversity, you know, is out of their mind. Some of you may say, but the kingdom response that is required from us, you choose to give thanks and praise regardless of the whatever emotion that is resisting against it. And yet there are many people, some people in the Bible that I can give you an illustration who give thanks in times of tribulation and adversity. The prophet Jonah learned of this lesson well, and he began to apply this in his life. It's a very powerful, what they call, there's power in thanksgiving. Let us refer to the gospel, or to the book of Jonah chapter 2, please. And we'll read from verse 3 to verse 10, just to illustrate the point. The book of Jonah chapter 2. I'm going to read from verse 3 to verse 10. Now, in the context of this is this. Jonah ran away from God and he boarded a ship, then went in the opposite direction. And then later on, because of different circumstances, they threw him into the sea. And then he was drowned and he went down into the sea. And there was a big fish that came and swallowed him up, and he was in the fish belly. This is what happened. And he said, I cried out to the Lord, verse 2, because of my affliction, he had answered me. And out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and then you heard my voice. You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the sea. Verse 3, and the flood surrounded me, and all your billows and your waves they passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me, which were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bar closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O God, Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But look here in verse 9. During that deep adversity and tribulation, he says in verse 9, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And then moments later in verse 10, so the Lord spoke to the fish and it vomited Jonah. It vomited Jonah unto the dry land. So, brothers and sisters, here is a classical example of a particular saint, Jonah, Prophet Jonah, that he began to give thanks, praise, and thanksgiving unto the Lord during adversity and during tribulation. And thereafter, he was set free. So why do we give thanks even during adversity and negative situation? First, it is not a form of denial. Let us be very, very clear. Second, not because God is so insecure that He wants our thanksgiving, you know, every time in our life. But it is more for you and for me. And let me explain. Now, when you give thanks during this bad situation, it is not for the bad things that happen to you. Let it be very clear. But it is for the deliverance that God is going to bring forth in your life, in your circumstances. It is a kingdom response that enable you to draw the joy of the Lord to overcome whatever trials and the situation that you are going through. And therefore, when you go through adversity, as you give thanks and praise unto the Lord, you are drawing a joy that is internal, and it comes to be infused into your spirit man, and you become strong, and that you're able to withstand, that you're able to overcome the circumstances. And that is the way to draw the joy of the Lord into your life to overcome whatever you need to overcome. So brothers and sisters, you give thanks because the other thing is, God is going to turn around the situation. He's going to turn the bad around for your good. And that is why Romans chapter 8 verse 28 says, and all things can work together for those who love God and for those who are called according to His purpose. And because you love God, you know that He's in control, and therefore you can continue to give Him praise and glory, and He's going to turn that situation around. He's going to infuse, you know, the anointing into your life. He's going to infuse joy into your life to rise up and to overcome the circumstances. Now, how do you give thanks? Now, you cannot just keep quiet about it. You need to verbalize it. You need to speak it out. And you need to testify, just as we have read in the book of Jonah. And as you do so, something spiritual begins to move and something begins to happen. The anointing of God is activated and it comes upon you and empower you to overcome. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Your discouragement begins to lose hold upon you. Your depression begins to be lifted up, and the cloud of despair hanging over you begins to dissipate away. And therefore, the key, brothers and sisters, thanksgiving will cause you to tap into the anointing of God to cause something to happen. And try it and do it and live it as a lifestyle, and you will begin to see results in your life. Now, don't do it as a ritual. Don't do it as a cliche. You know, like many of us do, just thanks, 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 but you don't mean it in heart. Learn to reflect upon those things and begin to give thanks out of the depths of your heart. Out of the depths of your heart. And you begin to reflect and ponder the might of God, the goodness of God, and how He will begin, you know, to come true for you. Begin to verbalize your thanksgiving and praise, and God will show up and He will come true for you. And therefore, brothers and sisters, begin to understand that there is power in thanksgiving. There's power in praise. And that's why this simple verse like this, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 18, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. So, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you for year 2014, adopt a lifestyle of thanksgiving and praise. Now, second point is commit yourself to give up your grudges and to forgive. Now, in life, periodically, we are bound to encounter disappointment. We are bound to encounter offenses. We are bound to encounter failures and also encounter hurts that were inflicted by the people around us. And no one is exempt from this. And when such things happen, the devil will try to capitalize on the situation. And he'll whisper all kinds of things into your ears. He will try to stir up the ill feelings to cause you to harbor grudges. And if you're not careful, you entertain him long enough, you will nurse and you will dwell on these past things. You become bitter, and grudges will begin to take root in your heart. It is insidious and it works deep in the inner recesses of your soul. And the telltale sign that is coming will come out in the form of bitter words, will come out in the form of negative words and the cynical attitude and the careless kind of response. And when you bear grudges and unforgiveness in your heart, you carry a baggage in your life. You will have a heavy stone in your heart. And there is this weight that is hanging around you. And therefore you cannot make progress. You cannot move forward, brothers and sisters. And it is important. And not only that, important that you release your grudges and you move forward. Because now grudges actually destroy relationship. It breaks up fellowship. It begins to ruin friendship. And it kindles contention among brothers and sisters, among the people. Now, not only that, your grudges that is inside you is going to choke the life and the blessings of God coming upon your life. And furthermore, grudges within you, it builds a toxic insight to destroy you slowly but surely. It is self-destructive. So make no mistake about it. If you keep harboring these grudges, it will eventually destroy you. If not physically, it will be certainly emotionally and spiritually. So do you remember that there was a parable told by the Lord Jesus about an unforgiving servant? This servant was forgiven a huge debt by a king. But yet, when someone owes him a small debt, he couldn't and he wouldn't forgive. And Jesus says that this unforgiving servant landed him in prison and in torment. And God says to you in your word, don't sentence yourself to prison and to torment. And so set yourself free. Give up your grudges. Forgive each other as Christ has forgiven you. And in fact, there was a word from Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 to verse 12 to verse 13. I'll read it to you. It says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint or grievances against another, even as Christ forgive you, so you also must do. This is a commandment. We are commanded to forgive whether whatever grievances or grudges you may have against one another. It is a command, not a recommendation from the Lord. Now, feeling the pain in your heart is not wrong. When you are you're hurt by an offense, it is not wrong. Because we are all human beings. We are created with a feeling. And so what is wrong is harboring the grudges and not willing to forgive. Now, God is not asking you to pretend that it did not happen. Nor is He condoning the wrong or not asking you to pretend that it didn't happen. What God is asking you to do here is to forgive the grievances. That means to come before God to acknowledge, says, Lord, I'm hurt by this particular offense, this particular situation. You know, though it is painful, but I'm just going to release it to you. I'm going to submit it to you. And I choose to forgive this brother or this sister in Jesus' name. And give me, you know, the grace and the strength to forgive. This is how you need to deal with your unforgiveness. So it has nothing to do with feeling. It is all about choosing and deciding to forgive. And some of you need to release your grudges. Forgive your parents or your siblings or your children or your relatives or your spouse or your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And God says that the deep resentment that is within you that you have against, you know, that person has to go in 2014 and beyond. What better time to make this decision than the start of a new year, 2014. Now don't tell God that you can't forgive, because what you really mean when you say that is that you wouldn't forgive. Now if Christ can forgive you of your sin, despite the extreme pain and suffering on the cross, and yet on the cross He's able to say, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. So the question is whether you will choose to forgive. It's an act of your will. And so brothers and sisters, review whatever there may be some stone burden in your heart for over certain offenses. Maybe when you were young or just recently or last year, whatever it is, this is a time, you know, to have a clean slate. Give up all your grudges and choose to forgive in Jesus' name. And the third thing I want to speak about is commit yourself to make a godly decision, not to fast, but to move on. Now, there was a story in the Bible that the nation of Israel, they were in the land of wilderness, and they were going around the mountains for many, many years. And then after 38 years, God began to declare a word to that nation. He says that you have skirted this mountain long enough. It is not time to move on. It is time to move northward and to possess the promised land. The promised land is waiting for you to possess. It's only whether you want to move forward in your spiritual journey. And don't skirt around the mountain, you know, in your life. And that has been going on too long. And that is why Deuteronomy says that you have skirted this mountain long enough. Turn northward. We have a tendency to encamp around a mountain. We like to live around our past failures, our past misfortune. We like to grieve over our past mistake over and over again. We like to whinge and often want to go into this self-pity party. Going around the mountain became a convenient and accepted norm. Don't be deceived into accepting this. You know, when we always dwell on our past mistake, it will hold us back. Don't adopt the victim mentality. I should have done this 10 years ago, and it ought to be this 20 years ago. No, should be, should have, so on and so forth. It will not help you, brothers and sisters. You cannot change your past, but you can learn from your past. You may not have a good past, but you can have a good present, and you can have a better future. So, brothers and sisters, your future can be better than your past. And you can change your present and future with God's wisdom and God's help. So don't encamp around a mountain for too long. You need to move on in 2014. Now in life, this is a principle that you need to understand. In life, we will always encounter adversity and difficulty. The key is this. Do not fuss about it, but make the best out of every situation. Make the best out of every situation. Don't fuss about the difficulties that you are encountering. And for that, I want to give you a story of a blind man. And this is taken from the Gospel of John chapter 9, verse 6 to verse 8. Now, many of you, when you read this story, maybe you don't quite understand some of the dynamics that are going behind that story. You know, we seem to presume on a certain thing. Now, when you read this story carefully, the man was blind. That is number one. And this story was quite peculiar. Now, Jesus, he did not perform the healing straight away. And in fact, Jesus did the first thing. He spat on the ground. He took the clay. He mixed it. And then he began to anoint over the eyes of this particular blind man. Now, everyone just presumed that he's going to heal that blind man. Now, notice that Jesus did not say to this blind man, be healed in Jesus' name. Or be healed, whatever it is. This man, on the one hand, because he was blind, he did not even know what Jesus was doing. He just happened to feel something that was slimy over his eyes. And then, you know, he wasn't aware that Jesus was going to heal him. But then, the word that come forth from Jesus after that particular touch was, he says, go, wash in the pool of Siloam. He did not say heal, alright? So he said, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, Jesus required this blind man to make a decision to obey him to go to this pool of Siloam. Now, note that this blind man had this saliva on his eyes, something very slimy. Now, he could have fussed over a number of things. Now, he could have said that, ask Jesus, why was I born blind in the first place and why not others? And he could have asked Jesus and fast over this. He said, why do you anoint, you know, my eyes with this slimy liquid over it? You know, it's so uncomfortable. Or he could have said, if you fast over it, why can't you heal me straight away? What are you doing? Or he could have fast over this thing and says, why do I have to go to this pool of Siloam? Why can't I go to any place and wash it, you know, with any water? Now, there are dozens of things that he can fast over. He has a decision to make. Whether to fast over the various things that I mentioned, you know, or just to simply decide to do what Jesus has instructed. Yeah, so he went, and then he washed in the pool of Siloam. And then eventually he came back. He was healed. He was able to see. Now, men like to fast over many bad situations and they like to focus on the blame. Now, maybe you are fasting many things currently when God is waiting for you to make a godly decision to follow His instruction as written in the Word and to move forward. Move forward. So principle number B is this. Going through the difficulty with the right attitude will make us grow up. Will make us grow up. And for that, I want to give you another illustration from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 12. Now, Jeremiah was a young prophet, and he was sent to this particular nation of Judah. And this nation of Judah was, you know, was wicked, and they went into idolatry. So essentially, he was sending to a people who was stiff-necked, and he has a very, very strong message. And then obviously, his message was not welcomed by the people, and then they were very antagonistic towards him. And not only that, and in Jeremiah chapter 3, and Jeremiah began to see that the people are prospering, and they are very happy, and these are wicked people. And so in Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 1, he began to ask God. He says, "Righteous are you, O Lord, when I plead with you, yet let me talk with you about your judgment. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are those happy who deal so treacherously?" Basically, the prophet Jeremiah asked God why he is allowing all these wicked people to continue to prosper and be happy. In other words, he began to fast over them and complain to the Lord. And then the Lord began to reply him in verse 5. Now, read this carefully. He says that the Lord says to Jeremiah in verse 5, he says that if you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? And if in the land of peace in which you trusted, they weary you, then how will you do in the floodplain of Jordan? To paraphrase what he's saying here is God was saying to Jeremiah, now if you're going to run with the footmen and it's already tiring you out, he said, what more in the day than you're going to contend with horses, then you are not able to stand. And he says, in other words, God is saying, stop fasting over this. Come on, you need to go through, you know, this difficulty and grow up. I'm toughening you up, you know, through this incident. I'm preparing you for a more important assignment and task that is ahead of you. And God's will for us is that we can grow up, that we become resilient and we become robust Christian, that we are no pushover in Jesus' name. We become spiritual warriors for Him. We are an overcomer who can rise above the situation, that we are the head and we are not the tail. And we need to make a decision that align ourselves with the Word of God, with the will of God. We need to decide not to fast and confront over the challenges, go through them so that we can grow in our maturity. So, and then closing, that's one another illustration. I want to ask is, are you a thermometer or are you a thermostat? You know a difference between a thermometer and a thermostat? Now, we all know what is a thermometer. A thermometer is an instrument that measures the temperature of the room. And how does it work? When the weather conditions outside, when the temperature goes up, the thermometer will also go up. When the temperature goes down, the reading of the thermometer will also go down. Which means to say, it just goes, you know, with the flow of the circumstances of the weather. Weather is good, you know, I behave well. Weather is bad, I behave, you know, badly. So this is a kind of people, the thermometer kind of person. But there's a difference, right? So there's a difference. A thermostat is different. You set the temperature that you want. You set it to 25 or 20, whatever temperature that you desire. Regardless of the external temperature, the air conditioning unit, right, will begin to pump out air as much as possible and move towards its what they call set temperature. Even the pumping of the air will be regulated so that the room will eventually reach its set temperature. It will not allow the external condition to dictate the terms in this room. So the question, brothers and sisters, are you allowing the external to affect your internal? Are you a thermometer or are you a thermostat? And brothers and sisters, be a thermostat, not a thermometer. Do you allow the external, you know, circumstances to respond, to affect how you want to behave? When, you know, when you have adversity, you begin to moan, you begin to complain, so on and so forth. So regardless of how difficult or bad the external circumstances are, you have a choice. You have a choice to make. You have a decision to make whether you want to align yourself with the Word of God and with the will of God. Now, though, if you make a decision, a godly decision that is in alignment with the Word of God, it may not be popular. It may not be even comfortable. And at times, it is painful. Now, if you make a choice by obeying the Word of God, His Word and His Spirit, then you have made a godly decision. And God will back you up. And when you honor God, God will honor you. And that is why in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, it says, I call heaven and earth before you as the witness. This is a big thing. When God asks you to make a decision, He's calling the heaven and earth as a witness. And He says, I lay before you two things, either life or death, blessing or cursing. He says, choose life that your descendants may live. Now, what does it mean? It means everything has a choice. Everything has a decision point. And the decision point is whether you want to choose life or you choose death. If you choose things that are according to the Word of God, then you will have life. You're going to have blessing eventually. Not maybe not in the interim, but you're going to disobey, you're going to whinge, you're going to complain, so on and so forth, you're going to bear grudges, then death is going to come. And then, you know, cursing is going to come. Then the bad outcome is going to come. So you have a choice. And God even instructs you. He says, this is a very simple question, multiple choice question. I'm giving you the answer. Choose life, brothers and sisters. Choose life. So it is not about feeling. It is all about your choice. And once you choose and you decide, the feeling will eventually align itself with your decision. You know God's will. And many of it is written in the Bible. And He has spoken. Now, have you decided to choose life? Choose blessing? Have you decided to carry out the instruction that has been written? In everything, give thanks. And in everything means everything. Have you decided to let go of your grudges? Have you decided to choose to forgive? Choose to confront the difficulty? Choose to make the decision in alignment to God's Word? Everything, as I said, stops at the question mark, at the decision point. Christian life is a series of decisions. First decision to be made is, I decided to follow Jesus. I decided to give my life to Jesus. You know, the cross before me, the world behind me, that is a decision. And then after that, you choose to be water baptized. On the 19th, we're going to, you know, water baptize some people, at least one, and hope more, you know, to come. So you have chosen to be water baptized. It is your decision. And then you, every Sunday, you choose to come to the church to worship Him. You choose to forgive. All right. You choose to be faithful. You choose, you know, to honor God. And all these are godly decisions. You have the power to decide. And no devil can stop you. And once you make a godly decision, you know, you are advancing. And you are moving forward. And power is released in the spiritual realm. And God will then instruct His angels to work on your behalf. Now, His timing may not be to your liking, but then His backing you up is for sure. It's for sure. In the natural, nothing seems to happen. But in the spiritual, something is happening. And in the fullness of time, in the fullness of time, God is going to bring the beauty, a good outcome of that decision in your life. And when you look back, it says, I'm glad that I have made that godly decision. Because life is coming out of that decision. Blessing is coming out of that decision. Now, just after that you make a decision, godly decision. Now, the devil may be attacking your mind. He may be attacking your emotion. Now, don't be so dormant. Use your authority to confront him. In the name of Jesus, I come against you. In the name of Jesus, I'm sticking to this decision. Out you go in Jesus' name. The Bible says that if you resist the devil long enough, he will flee away from you. And so set a godly decision and keep it. Keep it that way. Move forward and don't waver. That's why Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, he says, no one, having put his hand on the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. So brothers and sisters, my prayer for you and me this year, 2014 and beyond, is to commit yourself to three things. Commit yourself to a lifestyle of thanksgiving and praise. Very important. Every time you go through, good or bad time, Lord, I reflect upon your might. I reflect upon your goodness, so on and so forth. And I choose to give you thanks. I choose to give you thanks. And then next thing, my heart, your heart may be burdened. My heart may be burdened. Maybe because of certain offenses, I commit myself to give up these grudges. I choose to forgive. And then a third thing is, I choose to make decision that is in alignment with God's will. Whatever it is, what does the word of God have to say about this situation, about this decision making? I choose myself to align. I'm choosing life. I'm choosing blessing. So the key is, don't fast when you go through difficulty, adversity. Don't fast over the difficulty. You know, begin to confront it in the mighty name of Jesus. This is my prayer for you, brothers and sisters. And may we all grow in maturity. May we all move on and move forward in 2014 and beyond. And in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ, may I bless you, and may you take this word, you know, begin to meditate it and begin to grow. Allow this word to grow and to become a reality in your life. Can I get the musician to come forward, please? So, brothers and sisters, this year, if you want to transact with God, you know, if you sense that this message is speaking to you, you want to transact with God, just come your way here to the altar, start of the new year, and begin to, you know, commit yourself to the Lord in these three things. And then may the Lord touch you and give you the grace and the anointing and the power to overcome and to move forward in year 2014. Shall we stand? Thank you.